Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and it's Text Line Tuesday. So you get to be the producer. Whatever you want to talk about today, text 590-590. You can also reach us on the socials, Twitter and Instagram, JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar. Weird football game last night. Weird football game in the sense of it was the first one we watched where it was just a meaningless standalone game, right? Where you sit down into it. And,
the Steelers are still alive?
Yeah, but come on. You know, like, come on.
We're stretching here pretty, for week 18 stuff, man. Steelers are still alive.
Yeah. It's just, it's tough when everyone is still alive in a way where a team needs to lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake, no offense. That's the thing that sparks the potential for teams to get in is everybody's playoff scenario starts with, well, if the Colts lose to the Jaguars.
Well, look, would it really surprise you, given the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars, if they won a stupid game that cost them the number one pick?
Yes. This year, yeah, it would. They just lost to the Patriots 50-3, I think, or 50-10. they lost.
I have no memory. I have no memory of that
this week. It's not the best times for the Jacksonville Jaguars fans. Even by Jaguars fan standards, it's like this is as low as it gets. Shockingly, after a season where they picked first overall, so. Yes, the Steelers are technically alive. The game did not feel like it had a lot of competitive juice, especially considering in the first half, the Browns are kind of not focusing on Nick Chubb, and you even wondered if that was, is he hurt? Are they preserving this guy? Are they already deciding with a couple of games left in the season to not run him out there? Also, Baker, my God, I don't even want to pile on at this point, but watching him play is, did you guys watch Manning Cast last night? Come on.
I saw Snoop Dogg.
No?
I saw Snoop Dogg on the Manning Cast.
Didn't stick around for Aaron Rodgers.
I was in and out of it. I saw Snoop Dogg asking the Manning brothers if he could be adopted, and he gave them a chain, and, you know, that was cute.
God, it was too good an NBA night for me to watch a football game that I didn't care about as my primary.
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers came on at the end of the broadcast, which was great, but watching the Mannings react to Baker Mayfield's play was high comedy. It was truly great. It's what makes the Manning Cast great. I really wish that they would get rid of the celebrities, that they would stop doing this, that they would really make it about more football people than celebrities, because, yeah, they bring in Snoop Dogg, and there's this awkward Peyton and Eli dynamic where they're trying to make jokes. And then when Peyton makes a joke and then Eli explains the joke, Peyton kind of gets passive-aggressive at Eli. It happens over and over and over again. It just sucks. Them with the celebrity guests has yet to work, in my opinion. It's all about the football guests. They should just really try to fit Pat McAfee into every single one of these things is what I've realized, if you want to have any comedic element. So they're watching Baker, and he's just awful, and just awful, awful, awful. I can't believe there are still Baker believers. People still tweet at me and DM me, and, you know, I'm sure maybe even we'll get one of these for the text line Tuesday. Like, one, I have people going, hey, he had his shoulder injury, and he's still young, and he's still, like, it's not his throwing shoulder. he's beat up. A lot of quarterbacks are. He is terrible. That interception he threw was, in the first half, one of the worst interceptions I saw all season. But the story is not about the Browns and their unbelievably disappointing season. The factory of sadness just churning out another stinker. It was about Big Ben. And going into this game, there was a lot of speculation as to whether or not it was Ben Roethlisberger's last game. And we were questioning this because Ben has hung around for a very long time. And quarterbacks are playing into later stages of their careers. But Ben Roethlisberger, I actually do think that a part of his legacy is the guy has stuck around too long. And Steelers fans would say, well, there weren't better options, which I agree with, although you probably could have pivoted to something else. And they would point to things like in 2017, going to a conference championship game or some of the records that this team accumulated with Ben Roethlisberger as quarterback or some of the Pro Bowl selections that he racked up later in his career. But Ben has clearly been a gamer who wants to play, and I wasn't sure if he was going to retire. Antonio Brown went on Cameo yesterday. By the way, someone paid Antonio Brown $300 for this Cameo, which is insane. I looked up his price. And he was saying that he doesn't know if Ben is going to quit because he's so in love with the game. But afterwards, it was very obvious, watching Ben interact with his teammates, watching Ben sit on the bench, that his career was over. And it was the first time that I actually started to sit down and really think about Roethlisberger's career and the way that we all felt about him. And I wondered what you guys thought of when you saw those shots of Ben sitting on the sideline, of Ben sitting there and actually knowing that this guy's career was over.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one because if you trace kind of my football fandom, he's one of the, you know, he's not the first and he's not the most prominent, but he came into the league in 2004. That's when I was in grade 12. That's around the time I started paying attention to football. You know, those Steelers teams were really good and won two Super Bowls while I was in university. So in terms of my fledgling football fandom at that point, he was the guy, right? Like, he was arguably one of the most important players in all of football during that kind of five-year stretch where I'm first ramping up as a fan. Now, I've never been a Steelers fan, you know, and I think Ben, early career Ben, is a much different guy and much different profile than kind of mid-career Ben, where it was more about the run game and the defense that they had there. But yeah, I mean, he's kind of, this is a lot of longevity. And I think, you know, from a more like, what will I remember about Ben Roethlisberger standpoint, beside the troubling off-field stuff, is he is like the fourth quarter comeback guy. And I don't know how much of that is baked into the Steelers played a lot of close games over the years because, you know, either that division was good or they were run and defense focused, so they didn't run up the score or whatever. You know, even within that, there were some years he had pretty bonkers touchdown numbers. But he's the fourth quarter comeback guy. He's the guy who, you know, in those in those Super Bowl games, in a playoff situation, even right now, he's 100 years old and leads the league in fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives this season. So that's kind of to me what I think of, like, what I'll associate Ben with is he's the kind of 2-minute drill, 4-minute drill guy.
Yeah, I think he's closer to Eli than – oh, sorry, Eilish, what do you want to say?
No, go ahead.
I think he's closer to Eli than we give him credit for in terms of quarterback – Hall of Fame status. Ben obviously goes in. You get 3 Super Bowl rings, one of which is against Aaron Rodgers. You obviously get in. There's no doubt. You're right, Blake. To me, one of the biggest parts of his legacy is he has 52 game-winning drives in his career. 52. That's an incredible statistic. It's really hard to parse out QB numbers. Like, I don't... If your case for Ben Roethlisberger getting into the Hall of Fame ever includes passing yards or passing completions or none of that matters to me. Those stats are now irrelevant. I'm sorry, but they really are. Unless you break those records, and even if you do, I don't really look at them as reasons that you would get into a Hall of Fame anymore. Because again, you look at the top 15 quarterbacks and you would think that football started in 2004, right?
That is the beginning Stafford of the sport. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Stafford's 12th all time.
Yeah. But with Ben, he's got just the reason why I bring up the Eli thing is he played in a major football market where he won Super Bowls, and that is really his case, and it's clutch. And so you look at these things and I go, was Ben in his peak that much different than Eli in his peak, where I think about him as how many years were you a top 5 quarterback in the NFL? I think he had more seasons. I think he was better than Eli. I do believe that he was a higher in the quarterback hierarchy than Eli Manning ever was on a consistent basis, but I don't view them as worlds apart. Like, Ben to me was never really the best player on his team. He went from that early era that you mentioned where it was all about the defense. Then it was, this guy has Le'Veon Bell. This guy has Antonio Brown. The Steelers are incredible with their coaching staffs. They've got looking back at that defense when he first won Super Bowls, the linebackers that they had, Larry Foote, Ferrier, Joey Porter, knowing that this was the Troy Polamalu team, that was more the identity of the Steelers to me. What I will say is I'll remember him for the toss against Arizona, which kind of started the Ben is clutch discussion, right? The toss to Santonio Holmes, the corner of the end zone, were the 2 feet down. That is always going to be the big Ben play. But the other part of it is just like the longevity, I believe, hurt him in a lot of ways. You know, the 3 Super Bowls he won were all over a decade ago. And he lost in the conference finals in 2017, but there are only 3 playoff wins since he won that Super Bowl. It's just, that's a long time ago. That's a really, really, really long time ago. So,
didn't he only win 2 Super Bowls?
No.
He only won 05 and 08.
No, he won 3 Super Bowls. Oh, no, he won 2. Sorry, he appeared in 3.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I was going to say, I was racking my brain to find remember when the other one was.
No, sorry. Three Super Bowl appearances, 2 Super Bowl wins.
Right. But yeah. 2010, they were back there.
Yes. But Ben, to me, is just like, yeah, he's the Hall of Very Good, but he was never the Hall of Great. And I never felt like I was watching greatness with Ben Roethlisberger. And I don't know. His legacy to me is more about how long he stuck around than how brilliant he was in his peak. I remember him avoiding the sacks. I'll always remember feeling like this guy was going to win a game, very much like in the Tom Brady vein of, hey, he's going to find a way. But it was more, hey, this guy's going to find a way to get it to be a field goal rather than a touchdown, which is the way that I view the gap between he and Brady.
So I looked at some of the quotes of former players that played with him just to see, like, maybe we don't get to see locker room stuff. What do they look to when they think of him? And a lot of the words were competitive, gritty. He was a bit of a sore loser, which is a kind of a good trait if you're a quarterback because you have something to prove the next game. You know, saying that he was legendary in his how he prepared for games, very much the same, almost like a routine, like a robot in a sense. And I feel like that's a lot of quarterbacks. When you think of Tom Brady, he's very similar in that sense, but not flashy. He just was a gritty guy. And then even last night when he was interviewed post game, he said, you know, we found a way to win. That's all that really matters. That's been the story of my career. Not always pretty, but we find a way. And I think that's like what I would summarize when I look back at his career. You know, 18 years is a long time to be in the NFL. I think it's just that grit and that, you know, he would get injured. A lot of his teammates, even when I'm reading quotes, oh, he'd play through an injury. He'd pick himself up and he would compete. And I mean, maybe that's just not the flashy way to remember someone, but that's kind of how his teammates are perceiving his long career there.
See, it's funny because I'll always remember that almost again as a bit of a negative with Ben was it always felt like he was hurt. He's in that walking boot for the entire second half of his career. And there's an element of toughness there, but there's also an element of stubbornness of sticking with your career. And yeah, a part of me really does believe that the Steelers were just trapped by having this quarterback the entire time because he won the 2 Super Bowls so early in his career. But really, again, the Steelers Super Bowl was very memorable to me because as a Seahawks fan, but it was the primary story of that Super Bowl was Bill Levy, the only referee to ever apologize for calls made in a Super Bowl. It was the Willie Parker run. It was the Randall L. throw. Antoine Randall, like, that was the throw of that game. It wasn't Ben. Ben only threw the ball, I don't even have to look it up. I think he threw it 20 times. It was not a Ben Roethlisberger Super Bowl, and yet he was just kind of a steadying force that got them there. The Cardinals one is unassailably his Super Bowl. I will say this, too, though. He did play a really good game against Denver to get them to the Super Bowl that year. Like, a really, really good game against Denver in his first Super Bowl season. He was always a very good quarterback, like a very good quarterback. But I never felt like I was watching greatness with Ben. And I always wondered what the Steelers would have looked like had they pivoted to a different quarterback around the 2015 range. He made all these Pro Bowls, and that's when you'll point to them. Only 6 Pro Bowls in his entire career, by the way. 18 seasons in the NFL, 6 Pro Bowls, most of which came at the end of his career when he was racking up stats with Antonio Brown. And so I think he's more of a complicated on-field guy than people give him credit for. in terms of, oh, he was always a lock for the Hall of Fame. A big part of it to me was he's a Steeler. He's a Steeler, and he won. And he won early, but the rest of his career was pretty much taking teams that were probably a lot better and not winning them, like not winning those Super Bowls. Part of it, too, is the quarterback era, right? The longevity does get diminished by being in the era of Drew Brees and Tom Brady and crossing over with Peyton Manning. So that's a huge element to all of this. I will sort of always think of Ben as one of the most overrated football players to ever, like, that I've ever seen.
We got a text line question from Jason in Toronto. Looks like this is the last we've seen of both Ben and AB, two guys that should be linked to each other forever. Who has the better Hall of Fame case in your opinion?
Ben has those rings, and that always will be paramount, especially if you're a quarterback. And so I really don't want to diminish those when I'm talking about him being an overrated figure. But he still won two Super Bowls as a quarterback. And to me, when it comes to the pantheon of things that matter in professional sports, I would say that being the best player on an NBA championship-winning team is number one. And 1B is being the quarterback of a Super Bowl-winning team.
Mm-hmm.
So those give a ton of credit. But AB is... I think if I had to picture... If I had to win a game... And I knew that personality was going to be taken out of it. <It's> like, but AB wasn't that guy for a really long time, right? AB is one of the most talented players I've ever seen at his position. To me, I'm going to think about guys like Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, Antonio Brown, and I don't know, maybe DeAndre Hopkins. But I'm trying to think about my just off-the-cuff top four ever receivers that I've just been terrified of, or I thought that were just going to continuously win football games and that we're going to do it on their own throughout my era anyways. And to me, AB is either the best receiver that I've ever seen or the second best wide receiver that I've ever seen. And to me, that's what Hall of Fames are supposed to be about. It's not as much about longevity. It's about how brilliant you were. And so AB in his prime... one of the best receivers I've ever seen, if not the best receiver that I've ever seen, especially when you consider like his stature, his physical traits, when you compare him to other all-time great receivers. I should have said Terrell Owens in that group too and Randy Moss, but those guys were like a little bit before, not before my time as a football fan, but their primes were as I was more of a kid. But either way, Antonio Brown to me is by far the bigger Hall of Famer. That's what I mean. I don't even view those guys as close because I never felt like when I was watching Ben Roethlisberger, I was watching a top three quarterback in the NFL at that time. Nonetheless, in his position over his decade.
Just going to name one more wide receiver. Torrey Holt, maybe heard of him, maybe on our next segment. Yeah. I know that's maybe a half era earlier than what you were talking. But yeah, Antonio Brown is like, he's the quintessential peak versus longevity discussion. There's a 6-year stretch from 2013 to 2018 where he has a very good claim, and you could argue Hopkins, but he has a very good claim as the best receiver in football at 5'10" and under 200 pounds. 686 receptions, over 9,000 yards, 67 touchdowns over those six seasons, and a monster performance in the 2016 playoffs where he had 300 plus yards over three games as Pittsburgh nearly made a run there. It's really good.
I gotta say though, with 6 years for a receiver is a really long time to be arguably the best receiver in football, right? Like even if we're just thinking comparing him to Megatron, where a lot of people go Megatron, that's the greatest receiver I've ever seen. I believe Calvin Johnson also only made five or six Pro Bowls. Like his career was pretty, I know he decided to make it short, but it's not like that guy played a million games and had this incredible longevity. Yeah. It's not everyone is Larry Fitzgerald. So I do view Antonio Brown's six seasons, what, six Super Bowls for Calvin Johnson? Yeah, I
six
knew it was
Pro
something.
Bowls, yeah.
Six Pro Bowls or Super Bowls, yeah.
Zero Super Bowls in Detroit.
I'm just
that's
throwing out
sure.
Super Bowls. I'm giving Super Bowls
you
to everybody.
You get a Super Bowl.
That's all right. I gave Ben
Super
Roethlisberger
Bowl.
A World Series earlier. One of the text lines from Brian in Etobicoke. Hey, do you think he could get a hit off Rivera? Like, shut up. I made a mistake. But It's yeah. Do we want to stick one more Steelers receiver thing here and get a little more modern, a little more last night?
Yeah.
All right, it's time for something to chew on.
Yum, yum, yum.
Brought to you by Great Canadian Meats. snap into a Great Canadian Meats. So we have data for wide receiver targets going back to 1992. Last night, Deontay Johnson has 15 targets. On those 15 targets, he gets 8 receptions, including a touchdown. You look at that and you think, hey, JD's Waken Rake of over 71.5 yards is a lot. 8 receptions, 15 targets, a touchdown. 31 yards on those 15 targets and 8 receptions. That ties, and again, this goes back to 1992, that ties Rob Moore for the lowest ever yards on 15 or more targets by a wide receiver. The 31 yards on 8 catches is also the third lowest ever and the lowest since 2014. So at least Deontay Johnson got you a touchdown if you're a fantasy owner, but this is historic high volume, low productivity day. So the something to chew on here is Deontay Johnson hates JD.
It plays into my discussion about Ben Roethlisberger's career, actually, which is not enough down the field in the last decade of his career. How many times the Steelers draw up plays where it's snap the ball and throw it 2 yards and hope that the receiver is the one that ends up making the play. Either way, you know, when you lose a bet, you have to, I always say, can you look yourself in the mirror after you make the bet? We all know we make those bets where the second the game starts and you go, oh my God, I'm on the wrong side. Or even last night, I bet on the Atlanta Hawks to beat Portland because there was no Dame and there was no CJ. And I go, okay, this got to happen. And then I remember all of a sudden, why did I bet on the Atlanta Hawks, right? What am I doing here? Why am I betting on this franchise that can't get a stop? Why? That you feel bad about it. I don't feel bad about the Deontay Johnson loss. That was the correct play. I do that 1,000 times out of 1,000. Ben Roethlisberger's final home game with his best receiver, he threw it to him 15 times. He got 31 yards. He got 31 yards. 15 times. That's one of the biggest bad beats I've ever had. Like, that you didn't get 70 yards on 15 attempts against the Cleveland Browns on a Monday night game? It's unbelievably bad. So, yeah, it sucks. I wish we hit the Wake and Rake parlay, but I make zero apologies for that bet. Like, that is a zero apology in my life bet.
If you are a Deontay Johnson fantasy owner and it came down to last night for you, here's hoping you were in a PPR league, so you at least,
yes,
got a little
100%.
Bit from that 8-touch volume. 11, what do you have? 13.5 points for PPR, so that's not too bad. All right, speaking of elite wide receivers with elite volume and Hall of Fame credentials, we're going to talk to Torrey Holt, the former NFL wide receiver, 7-time Pro Bowler, and 2022 Hall of Fame finalist. That's next on The Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan. Good morning. The Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan. Blake Murphy, J.D. Bunkin, Kalish Forfar, and a Hall of Fame finalist. Should be Hall of Famer. We're joined now by SiriusXM NFL analyst, co-host of Rams House on SiriusXM NFL Radio, 7-time Pro Bowler, and recently named one of 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2022, Torrey Holt. Torrey, good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody? Thank you. Thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. How you doing over there?
I'm hanging, man. You know, hanging. It's the temperature has changed here in North Carolina. It was just a couple of days ago, we were in the 70s, man. Everybody had on shorts and T-shirts, and now it's like in its 30s, man. And it, well, I guess 40s or 30s. That may not be cold to you all in Canada, but it's pretty chilly here in North Carolina. But all is good, man. Thank you.
It's in the 20s here, so no sympathy for you there. It's playoff football weather here is what it is.
Yeah, it is. It is, and we saw a little bit of that cold and that playoff weather last night against the Browns. You know, the Browns and the And the Steelers, though the Browns aren't going to the playoffs, but the Steelers still have an opportunity, hopefully here the next week or so, to see what their playoff future holds for them.
So, Tori, we were talking about the Steelers before we brought you on here, and obviously last night, potentially the last Ben Roethlisberger home game with that franchise, and just you know, it seemed like a bit of a goodbye from that fan base, the Roethlisberger, at the end of that game, and they need, you know, a ton of help this coming week to get in. If that was it for Ben in Pittsburgh, what do you see his legacy as? Like, I'm sure he's a guy that's going to join you in the Hall. I'm assuming you're going there. Seems like a lot, but he's probably a guy that's going there as well. What do you see his legacy as over the last 15, 20 years?
Oh man, well he's you saw a lot of it last night. I mean, he is the he is a true Steeler, and Ben is a huge man. He's about 6'4", 6'5", maybe bigger than that. But you know, this true grit, toughness, a good leader, a winner. You know, you heard his teammates talk a lot about how much of a winner Ben was. Jerome Bettis spoke at length about, you know, he was in the latter part of his career and hadn't been to a Super Bowl, and one of the things Ben wanted to see happen was Jerome make a Super Bowl, and not only make it, but to win it. And, they grinded out a win and won the Super Bowl. But Ben's just very productive, man. Again, just tough, gritty. The face of that Steelers organization the last 18 years, you know, playing the quarterback position. And we all know the demands on that position, and Ben has stood the test of time. Statistically, he's right up there with the best of them. Division championships, he's right up there with the best of them. And then he's also won world championships. So very, 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 very good career in Ben Roethlisberger. As you mentioned, a Hall of Fame, career, and I would assume if this was his last home game, and if this is his last season, 5 years from now, he'll be up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I'm sure will be inducted. And you think about all the quarterbacks that's played in our league, and even his class with Phillip Rivers himself and others. I mean, these guys were consummate pros, represented our league really well, and represented that position at the highest of levels.
Yeah, he'll follow you into the Hall. You're definitely going in.
That sounds good.
Here's the thing, though, too, is I always think that part of the Hall of Fame discussion component should be how fans of opposing teams felt watching guys like you. Like, I was a Seahawks fan, so you didn't start your career in the same division as my team, but the Seahawks go into the NFC West in 2002, and if they asked me, like, hey, how much did you hate Torrey Holt? I'd be like, oh, so much. I hated him. He was so good. He ruined so many games for me, and that Rams team ended up getting so much credit. And so that's it, is like that respectful sports hate, right, of other fans. Like, wouldn't it be great if one of your video testimonials during, like, your Hall of Fame induction week was just like, what would you rather have? All the Rams fans that you've heard from your entire career that loved you and were just like, man, this guy, he was so good, he was my favorite player, of course. But there should also be the component of all the fans you killed, all the fan bases that you hurt, and that were like, oh man, this guy again, not Torrey Holt, not again.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, man. I had some great moments against the Seattle Seahawks.
I know.
But some really good battles, too. You know, the Seahawks started to change the way they draft, to match up to what we were doing there in St. Louis with the speed and the talent and the receivers that we had, the skilled players that we had. Seattle knew they had to do something different, and they did a lot of that through the draft. So some really good battles. And Seattle was one of my favorite places to play because of the fan base and the intimacy of being in that stadium. A well-built stadium, very, very, very loud, and the Seattle fans really knew a lot about their football team, and they knew a lot about football in general. But it's always good to hear fans, show you love and show you respect. It just, for me, it means a lot because it lets me know that I played the game the right way. You know, I played it with true skill, with grit, with passion, with love, affection, respect for the fans, because my thing was, guys, Blake, JD, and Ailish, was I wanted to, when I left it, when I came into the stadium, I wanted the fans to be able to watch someone that, as I mentioned, loved playing football. You saw the passion. You saw his skill set. You saw his winning mentality. To me, that was a big deal. And a lot of fans across the National Football League, Seattle fans, Steelers fans, Browns fans, Packers fans, whatever, have expressed their love and appreciation for the way that I play the game. So thank you very much for sharing that.
Yeah, and what's wild looking back on your career when we were prepping for this interview, I was just really thinking about how, you know, when it was you and Isaac Bruce especially, I just remember thinking, like, I'm not going to see wide receiver duos like this again. You know, this is just such a rarity where there's an offense that's this explosive that has two receivers that are of this caliber. And now just the way that the NFL has gone over the last decade of just loading up in the passing attack and having so many prolific receivers in the league. And it's not... It's tough to discern at times now, right? Because we've added another game to the schedule. The league has changed so much with when it comes to passing that it's hard to contextualize things when it comes to yards and records and receptions and yards. Like, all these things get harder and harder to kind of parse through. And I saw Cooper Kupp, a guy who, you know, was with the organization that you were with. I don't know how, you know, it's not St. Louis, but it is, you know, the Rams. And Kupp was talking about needing to have separate categories for week 17 seasons. I'm curious in terms of, for you, when you look back on things and you try to like evaluate modern day receivers, if there is a stat that you look at and you say this does matter more to me, or this does provide a little bit more proper context, or if it is just as a former player, you really just have to run the tape.
Yeah, I mean, for me, man, I mean, 16 games, 17 games, 18 games, 15 games, you know, we're talking about Cooper Kupp in regards to his production. It really doesn't matter, man. You know, he is a very productive football player. I mean, he and Devontae Adams, I mean, you look at Jameer Chase and a lot of these young receivers and Justin Jefferson and these guys are very good, very productive football players. So whether it's 16 games or 15 games, I think their numbers will be what their numbers are. I mean, they're just that talented. They have really good coaching staffs. They have good offensive coordinators. They have good quarterbacks that can get them the football, players around them that help complement them and what they do on the football field. So, you know, I haven't really put much stake into the 16-17 game. I just look at the production. I look at the consistency. I look at the durability. I look at how he's affecting the game. I look at how he's helping his teammates around him improve and elevate their game. So, to me, that's what's important. And Cooper Kupp, as we're talking about him, has been every bit of that from beginning of the season to now. You know, when you look back at his career, he was very productive when he was in college. He was a four-time first-team All-American. I think he broke all kinds of records at his university and in that conference. Just a productive dude, man, that his skill set has translated to the National Football League, just like Bernard Hopkins and other players and other great wide receivers in our league. So, again, I don't put much stock into the 16-17 season. I mean, I'm sure that will continue to – I mean, 16-17 games season, I'm sure that will continue to be debated. But at the end of the day, you have to look at the production. You have to look at the player. You have to look at, again, the durability, the consistency in which they play. And I think Cooper Kupp has epitomized that this year for sure.
I'm glad you said that, Torrey, because, you know, that's a huge part of your Hall of Fame case, right? Is 8 straight seasons of 1,000-plus yards, 2 times leading the league within that, 7 Pro Bowls over 8 years. That consistency and durability is such a huge factor when we look back on, you know, who's the top wide receiver of an era, or we're looking at a class where, hey, you, Reggie Wayne, and Andre Johnson could all go in at the same time, and all three of you are kind of marked by that longevity. I do want to ask about one guy you mentioned there, and that's Jamar Chase. And you know a little something about big games as a rookie wide receiver, going back to that Super Bowl in 1999-2000. Just how impressed are you with a guy like Chase being able to put up a game like he did this week in his rookie season? Because historically it's been, you know, wide receivers take a little bit to get where they're going when they enter the NFL. Yeah. And he's come out and kind of out of the gate been this, and he's had some downs, but a real game-changing, high-volume receiver right away.
Yeah, no question. I mean, even before Jameer Chase was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, I was doing some draft work and talking about the wide receivers, talking about all the players that were coming into this year's draft, and just watching him play in college, I said, this guy is a future All-Pro, future Pro Bowl, Rookie of the Year caliber type player. And we saw a lot of that last weekend in that performance that he put up. Outstanding performance. You know, he has 1,429 yards on the season, and he's playing with his college quarterback. I mean, think about that. I mean, think about the continuity, the chemistry, the trust that those two players have with one another. And you saw that on display last weekend in that big game that he had. And I just think he's so talented. He has prolific size. He has prolific hands, prolific speed, quickness. He can run routes. So he does all the things that most of your veteran receivers really do well. He's doing it pretty good as a rookie, and he's only going to continue to get better. But I think the fact that he's playing with Joe Burrow, a guy that he played with in college, the continuity is good, the chemistry is great, the trust is fantastic. You're going to see more days like this from Jameer Chase as well as Joe Burrow. Young players only going to continue to get better. As I mentioned, against Kansas City, 12 targets, 11 receptions, 266 yards, a whopping 24.2-yard average and 3 touchdowns as a rookie wide receiver in the National Football League. I mean, that's scary. So, again, he only has room for improvement. He will improve. We're looking at a All-Pro, Pro Bowl caliber football player, the receiver position, I think for the next 10 years. I mean, he has that kind of ability. Now, it'll come down to his longevity, how durable he is, how he takes care of himself. I think remaining with the same team, remaining with the same quarterback would certainly help, but Jameer Chase is a tremendous talent. And I'm glad to see him getting off the way he is, as well as Justin Jefferson. Our receiver position, the receiver position is in good hands because we have so many great, really good young receivers that's carrying the torch and playing at a very high level.
When we look towards this upcoming end to the NFL season, and we're talking about our Super Bowl contenders, the Bucs were in the conversation, and now they have a little bit of a hiccup with AB and Godwin being out. Do you think that they can actually be a contender without those two key players not with the team?
You know what? I do, because of the experience that they were able to gain from last year and winning the title. A lot of those guys are back on that football team. Now, it will certainly look different than what it was last year. Antonio Brown is no longer there. You mentioned Godwin being down with injury. Mike Evans has dealt with injuries this year. You had some young receivers on that Bucs team that's been up, been down some this year. Now, they do have three legitimate tight ends that, as they go forward, we'll see what the offensive coordinator does in regards to putting those guys in favorable situations to win ball games. And then at the end of the day, you also have Tom Brady, who is some considered the GOAT, some considered the best quarterback that's ever played the game of football in the National Football League. You still have him back there being able to dissect and put the ball in the hands of the open receiver and put them in situations where they can win games. Tom's seen it all, right? He's seen everything that you can possibly throw at him. Byron Leftwich, who was the offensive coordinator, I had a chance to play against Byron and spend some time with Byron when we were in the National Football League. Very intelligent, smart guy, would do all that he can to make sure offensively that they're in good shape. But, yeah, I think they still have enough talent around them to make some noise in the playoffs. Now, will they go all the way? That's still to be seen. They still have some issues on the defense side of the ball that they're trying to correct. Obviously, there's some issues on the offensive side of the ball that they're trying to correct. But if that offensive line is solid, Tom stays upright and stays solid, they can do something in the run game, have a balance there. I think there's enough for the Bucs to make some type of noise in the playoffs, but we'll see how far they go. But they got a lot of talented guys on that roster that's played in championship moments. They won't back down. They just got to stay healthy, and then they just got to find a different way of winning, and I think they have enough around them to do that.
Torrey, curiously enough, I'm a Jaguars fan here in Canada, so it's nice
go
to
Jags.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on, a former Jaguar. You give Byron Leftwich the shout out. I know you guys didn't cross over there, but nice to have a little Jags memory for me today, because there hasn't been a whole lot to cheer for on that side. Although, who knows, maybe Byron's headed back there as a head coach one day. Torrey Holt, where you're headed is, we hope and we think, the Hall of Fame. Congrats on that and your continued success. And thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And let me say this before I leave. Let me give a shout-out to all of my family in Brampton, Ontario.
But oh, shout-out
to my brother-in-law, Garvin, my mother-in-law, my pops, my father-in-law. Big shouts out to all my family in Brampton.
Amazing. Torrey Holt, former NFL receiver, 7-time Pro Bowler, 2022 Hall of Fame finalist, and you can catch him on Rams House on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Better be going in the Hall. I know it's a loaded wide receiver class, but 8 straight years as one of the very top receivers in the game. And JD, to your point, one of the most feared guys to go up against. So, the Ben Roethlisberger thing, I mean, we could talk about the Hall. I mean, he's going in. There's not really much discussion about it. But do you have any kind of closing thought on that, JD?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of Steelers fans in the old Instagram DMs who are mad. and I get it. Listen, I understand. Ben is a... Steelers fans have been used to defending Ben Roethlisberger, okay? He's had basically his entire career of doing that. My only thing about Ben is he is one of the most overrated figures in NFL history because of where he played. Ben was a good leader and definitely a big game player, right? You felt confident having Ben in a playoff game. So, okay, great. But what did that equate to? Since Ben lost that Super Bowl in 2011... he had the 3 playoff wins I mentioned. Do you want to... I'm not even going to make you guys guess. He has 3 wins against the Dolphins, the Bengals, and the Chiefs. The quarterbacks for those teams in the games that Ben Roethlisberger won. Again, this is a decade of football with loaded Steelers teams. Ben beat A.J. McCarron, Matt Moore, and Alex Smith. A decade. A decade with the Steelers where the quote-unquote big game player beat those 3 quarterbacks. Like, that has to count for something. That has to mean something. And I would just ask most people, is like, there's this lore around Ben. Oh, Big Ben, Big Ben, Big Ben. He had an amazing Super Bowl toss against the Cardinals. If he doesn't, if Antonio Brown, or Santonio Holmes' feet are not in bounds on that play, is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. I honestly do not know. I feel like that one catch put him in the Hall of Fame. Like, again, he's got in his Super Bowl appearances, he's got 5 touchdowns and 3. He's just not been someone who I ever thought was a prolific player. He was special because anybody who makes the NFL is special, but got to be one of the most overrated players in my lifetime. Like, he and Eli are cut from the same cloth for me, where it's, these guys won. They deserve a lot of credit for winning. They deserve a lot of credit for those games. But just because you hung around for a long time and you accumulated a ton of statistics by measure of being with receivers and being a part of this era and playing a quarterback position for a long time, does that put you in the Hall of Fame? Does that make you someone that I ever felt like was a top 5 quarterback? If I'm being dead honest, I think the most talented quarterback from that era was Phillip Rivers. He just didn't have the clutch gene that Ben Roethlisberger had, and I don't think that he ended up having all of the teams down the stretch that Ben Roethlisberger had. Amazing coach, amazing team infrastructure, good drafting, good defenses, great receivers that he played with. It's just, Ben had a lot around him. He had a lot around him to succeed, and I never felt like he was necessarily this massive elevator of talent. And to be a Hall of Famer or a top 5 quarterback, I think that's what you got to be.
Yeah, the text line has a couple comments on this, and I think keep them coming. Yeah. It's text line Tuesday, so 590-590. Definitely a lot of Big Ben talk. And one of the – Jake in North Bay says, Mike Tomlin made Big Ben. Roethlisberger isn't in these discussions without him. And a couple other texts around that, that type of conversation. Is that something you guys agree with?
Well, I just want Steelers fans, when you're replying to me, is Tell me how you're feeling about Ben retiring, honest to God. There's got to be a measure of relief because he hung around too long. He has been a quarterback that no one thought you could win with for the last couple of seasons. And how do you equate for those three playoff wins over the course of a decade, a little over a decade? How do you account for that? How do you account for the fact that those are the only quarterbacks that he ever beat in a decade? Does a decade not matter? It doesn't matter more that that's his entire prime? That's a lot of his prime? It's got to count for something. And I'm a little over just always calling this guy the big game Ben, the big game player, because of the one toss to Santonio Holmes. And the game-winning drives against the Browns and Torey referenced those division wins. You get a lot of respect for those because you're in the division as the Baltimore Ravens, but also you were in the division with the Browns and the Bengals. And if we're doing the thing with Tom Brady where he was in the AFC East, I think it needs to be brought up that outside of those battles with Baltimore, a lot of AFC North stat padding in that too.